This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Last month, in September, the Tokyo 2020 Paralympic Games had its closing ceremony. There were a number of Illinoisans who competed, including Isaiah Rigo, with whom we spoke before he left for Tokyo. Rigo, originally from Spokane, Washington, is a student at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, and he competed in three track events, racing in a wheelchair in the 100, 400, and 1500 meters. It was Rigo's first Paralympic Games, and though he did disqualify in the 400-meter race, he performed well overall, finishing seventh in both the 100 and 1500-meter events. Illinois had several Paralympic athletes win gold medals at the Games. Daniel Romanchuk, a wheelchair racer, won the 400-meter in the T54 category. More on that designation in the conversation. And Susanna Scaroni, also a wheelchair racer, won gold in the T54 5,000-meter race. The Paralympic men's basketball team had three gold medalists from Illinois, Steve Serio, Brian Bell, and Ryan Nieswender. And Nicole Millage won a gold medal in women's volleyball. We wanted to revisit our conversation with Isaiah Rigo today. As ever, let us know what you think by email, voicemail, text, or tweet. All the ways to contact us are on our website, 21stshow.org. Okay, here now is my conversation with Isaiah Rigo. Isaiah Rigo, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, Isaiah, can you start by just taking us back to the trials this summer and talk us through the moment you knew you would be on Team USA at the Paralympics? This is your first Paralympics, right?
That is correct. And we had trials at the end of July, if I can recall correctly. And like in the past, I've competed in the 100, 4, and 15. So I did those events at trials, and about the time I kind of knew I was in a fairly comfortable position to be named on the team was right after my 1500. They choose the team based on a certain percentage that the U.S. Kind of comes up depending on your classification times, and I knew a certain percentage that I needed and the time that would get me there. And so if I hit that or even faster, I knew it. And I was a second faster when I heard the time called out. And so this right after that race, I knew I had a really good shot.
You knew, yeah, you knew it. You knew you were in it. So you compete in what's called class T52. For people who are maybe not as familiar with para sports, what does that mean?
It's super complicated, but in the Paralympic system, they are broken up into classifications. So wheelchair racers are between 51s and 52 or 54s. Don't know why that specific number. That's just how it is, and it's so that people have that same, I guess, range for people to race against like the same disability level. And so to make it not, to make them at least more, a little bit more fair, so you don't have someone that is possibly a quadriplegic that has limited hand function or no tricep function at all, racing against someone that's like an amputee.
Okay, so it makes it, I guess, more level, yeah. Because if somebody with a spinal cord injury versus somebody who was born with something versus an amputation, they all have different abilities that, and advantages or disadvantages in a given sport, yeah?
Correct, yep.
Yeah. So can you tell us about the vehicle in which you race? How is it designed? Are there different choices out there? How customized is it to you? Yeah.
Yeah, it's... So the wheelchair racing, we call it racing wheelchair. So it's not a bike. It is often referred to as a bike, but it is powered by our arms. It has no gears whatsoever. So it's a racing wheelchair that we use, and the design is meant to be aerodynamic. So it has three wheels. You kind of wiggle yourself into your seating area that is customized to your specific measurements to your body. And there's I believe two to three companies that help customize these wheelchairs for us that athletes can use to compete.
And you're wearing like they look like bicycle helmets. I don't know if they're specifically are or not, but I mean you're moving pretty fast out there, right?
Helmets. It's been a ongoing on and off battle if we should wear helmets, should not wear helmets. And then here at Illinois, we've also been able to manufacture 3D printed racing gloves. So that's how we are able to go that fast. The racing gloves in itself are a little bit complicated too. They're also measured sort of to your hand that we can modify it to make it as comfortable as possible. And it's pretty much like rubber on rubber friction. So we push on hand rims that are attached to the wheels, and then that's how we go forward.
Yeah, I saw in the images from one of the races I was watching, they almost look like gauntlets. Some of them are pretty big and clearly designed, I guess you'd say. Yeah.
Yeah, so I use, since I am quadriplegic, so I have limited hand function and wrist mobility. We have not been able to design a pair of 3D printed gloves for me that work yet. So I use what they call soft gloves or harness gloves. And it's literally like you put on a mitt and then you kind of like strap it to your hand.
Wow. So, there are so many different kinds of wheelchair competition. And I think I read that you've played basketball in the past. Can you talk through some of the different skills, pushing, pulling, the different strengths and some of the differences that, might be needed on a basketball court versus a racing track?
Yeah, I mean, you're in kind of different positions when you're in the tractor, right? You're kind of like laying somewhat on your stomach and you're using a lot more of your, like almost all your back, your shoulders, triceps, and all that stuff. And in basketball, it's all arms too. They use a little bit more core if you have function with that. And a little bit higher, like your traps and everything. Muscle-wise, that's kind of the difference a little bit, but there's not a whole lot. It's good cross training. So whatever, that's what I kind of used it for when I was in high school. I would play basketball for Parasports Camp back at home, and then when track season come, I already had like a little step ahead to hitting into competition since I was crashing with basketball. But they use different chairs in basketball. It's more suited to play a little bit more aggressive in contact sports. And the chairs itself are very uniquely designed to your needs.
Yeah, basketball is one thing, rugby has another, track has another, a lot of differences there. Isaiah, what does your training regimen look like? How do you spend your days as a student athlete?
It kind of depends on the time of year, honestly. But nonetheless, we train roughly 6 days a week. And then we also lift at least twice a week. And we'll have like 2-a-days once we kind of gear up towards heavier competitions. So we had a very intense week. Really intense 3 weeks, about 2 weeks ago, really pushing it before heading out to Tokyo. And then we're kind of tapering down, calming down with workouts, but still high, a little bit high intensity. Just kind of working through that. But our coach, Adam Bleakney at Illinois, has been in the game for a very, very long time and been head coach for almost a decade, I think, if I can remember. And he is very smart and knows what he's doing as coach. And so following his training regimen and keeping up with that.
So I mentioned earlier that you grew up in Spokane in Eastern Washington. What drew you to the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign? Was it the athletics? Was it the educational opportunities? A bit of both?
I'm gonna be honest, it's probably athletics. Kind of growing up, I started racing competitively since, when I was 14, and I hopped in the chair when I was six, but first made my international team at 14 and realized I wanted to pursue this and go as far as I can. And sadly, Illinois is the only collegiate wheelchair track program that's out there right now. And so for people that want to continue at a high level of racing, that Illinois is really the only solid foundation to go to continue.
Wow, that's remarkable. So, by this time next week, I imagine you'll be in Tokyo. Obviously, we're still in the midst of a global pandemic. What are you expecting in terms of COVID rules?
We've done a lot of preparation in these last really 2 weeks leading up to Tokyo, and even before that, as soon as we knew the team after trials, we kind of been not bombarded, but kind of following up with emails and getting everything prepared for us. So getting ready for any of the COVID testing that Japan needs to make sure we are safe to come into their country. And once we get to the Paralympic Village, just looking at the Olympic side and how well everybody did there and how the village kind of handled all of that, just being safe, being smart and how you kind of go about your day.
Yeah. The last thing I want to ask you about, I understand you're studying industrial design, and I think it's become clear in this conversation, obviously, adapting abilities to everyday life as well as to, Paralympic level competition, there is technology involved. I wonder, what do you hope to do professionally with industrial design?
Yeah, it's the amount of technology that has kind of integrated itself into wheelchair racing has tremendously improved and changed a lot of our thinking. And I coming here, it was super weird. I've changed majors 3 times, and I went to this workshop that I was on a actually the panel that the students would ask me questions about what I adapt through every day. And their job was to create either device or something that would help me achieve those goals either quicker or just quicker, more reasonable, and maybe more efficient and stuff. And while I was working with, because it was a whole week long thing, and working with them, I was like, I came into Illinois wanting to do engineering, helping other people, specifically designing prosthetics that would help any amputees live a more comfortable life, and couldn't get into engineering, but industrial design is just another way of being able to create things to help people out. And ideally, what I want to do is to be able to go back home. I am from Washington State, but I grew up in a small town in Cheney, which is at Eastern Washington, and on a little cattle ranch. And growing up on the farm life has really influenced what I want to do. And so I want to be able to take this degree and create either farm products from reinventing a hammer or a shovel or redesigning a tractor that someone can use that has a disability, like being in a wheelchair or has limited hand function, to be able to go out and do what they love in the agriculture world.
That was our conversation with Paralympic athlete Isaiah Rigo, who competed in the 2020 Tokyo Paralympic Games, which wrapped up last month. We want to thank Isaiah for helping us preview his participation at the Games and congratulate him on his strong finish, seventh in two of his 3 events. And that is all we have time for today. The 21st is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Erica Scalise is our engagement producer, and our interns are Owen Henderson, Zainab Qureshi, and Brielle Skullark. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.